can't wait to hear part two. So please welcome Pastor Mike as he comes up, brings part two on this relationship series.
Love you, Pastor Bill. Good morning, Victory Church. How you doing? I'm telling you, I got a lot of good feedback about it, so I'm trying not to compare this message to last message. Show me some mercy and grace. When you hit a grand slam the first week, it's hard to do that twice in a row. But anyway, I believe God's going to still bless you. If you need sermon notes, they're in your worship guides, but if you don't have one, raise your hand. Because we're going to take copious notes today. In fact, you're going to feed from drink from a fire hydrant this morning is what's going to happen, because this was the last week that I had, and I felt like God wanted me to just really pour it on and really pour as much information, knowledge, wisdom, understanding as I can on this subject, because this is an area where the devil is attacking like never before. We need to be one on guard, but we also need to be equipped so that we can have vibrant, life-giving relationships. And parents, if you have sensitive ears present, if you have children with you, I encourage you to take advantage of our amazing children's ministries, because I'm going to cover some subjects that may be sensitive to younger listeners. Not explicitly, but maybe, if you don't want to have that conversation with them in the parking lot after church. Then take them into children's ministry now. Use your discretion. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we have a lot to cover today, so let's get right into it. So we talked about a subject last Sunday that God made them male and female, men and women. They're equal spiritually, but they're different. They are different emotionally, and they're obviously different physically. And we dug deeper into that, so I'm going to do a quick review, and then we're going to go right into the new material. The University of Washington studied 2,000 couples over 20 years, and found that love and respect are the two key ingredients for successful relationships. You can write that down. Love and respect are the two key ingredients. And they studied this, and this was regardless of age, this was regardless of economic status, of the number of children, personality type, culture, family history, didn't matter. Across the board, they could tell whether relationships would be successful and last long term if there was love and respect. If there wasn't, they could predict with almost certainty that it wouldn't work out in the end. Successful marriages had a tone of respect while dealing with real issues. And another subject is a lot of people blame the issues that they're going through for their marital problems. You don't have issues with your marriage because you have financial troubles. You have issues with your marriage because there's not love and respect that's present when you're dealing with those financial troubles, talking to each other about it. So communication is really important. All right. Ephesians 5:33 says, "However, each one of you must love his wife." This is the theme verse for this sermon series. "Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." That love is agape in the Greek. It means the God kind of love. It is unconditional. It is persistent. It pursues. Husbands, you pursue your wives with this kind of love consistently. I know you married her. I know you pursued her, and you got a ring on it. You liked it. You put a ring on it. But you got to keep pursuing her and keep assuring her of that love. And guess what? That word for respect in the Greek is phobeo, and that means it's the God kind of respect, meaning it's also unconditional. It's reverential. It's honoring. And it is unconditional. It is unconditional. Do you know that God shows us unconditional respect? He shows us unconditional love. He also shows us unconditional respect. That's why he's not always barging into people's lives, telling them what to do and forcing his will on them. He's not doing that with a microphone. He actually speaks in a still, quiet voice to warn us, right? That's unconditional respect. So we talked about, why didn't God command the woman to agape love her husband? It's because, women, you're so insanely good at loving anyway. You're really good at it. And God doesn't put redundancies in Scripture. He gives us commands to help us in our areas of weakness. So, and guys, be honest, we know as men, we're not as good at loving and caring and nurturing as our wives are. And that's okay. God made us differently. Conversely, women, why didn't God command husbands to phobeo, respect their wives? It's because men live by the honor code already. We get it. We know how to respect. It comes naturally to us. It's ingrained into us. We get it. What we have a challenge is loving. So God gives us that command to help remind us, okay, how do I need to proceed in this, especially in the area of conflict? So this is going to bless you. If you've ever gotten into a tussle or a fight or as we said last week, jumped on the crazy cycle. Let's put that back up there. The crazy cycle says that without love, she reacts without respect, and without respect, he reacts without love. And what you end up doing is you end up stepping on each other's air hose. We all have an air hose that leads to an air tank. Men have the respect one, women have the love one, and when you step on it and you and say a woman, you confront because you care, you complain and criticize because you care, but to a man that feels disrespectful and dishonoring, and it's like what you hold contempt for him. So it steps on his air hose and deflates his spirit. And you notice it. At some point in a conflict, the issue is no longer the issue, right? At some point, like, the conflict, the issue is no longer the issue. The issue is he doesn't feel respected. Likewise for women, you feel it in conflict when he gets angry and upset, or he closes off and he steps back and it's like, all right, enough, I'm done with that. That feels like hostility to you. And it feels like he's stepping on your air tank and he's not loving you and filling up your love tank. He doesn't intend to. And women, you don't intend to disrespect. Men, you don't intend to not be loving. But we get on this crazy cycle inadvertently. We're goodwill people. We desire to treat each other with love and respect, but we don't get it sometimes. So what do we need to do? We need to appreciate God's design. So Matthew 19:4 says this, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? We're equal, but we're not the same. We're equal, but we're not the same." Let's not be confused about this. There is male and there is female. We don't jump back and forth. Equal but not the same. Different to complement one another. Different to complement one another and reflect the image of God. We use an analogy that women speak with a pink microphone, and they view things through pink glasses and hear things through pink hearing aids, and men speak with a blue megaphone and see things through blue glasses and hear things through blue hearing aids. And the difference between pink and blue, that is literally the difference between male and females. It is. It's that stark, it's that different, that noticeable. And you know it when you're in conflict and you're like, men are a mystery. And guy goes, well, women are a mystery too. What do we do? Hopefully today I'm going to unlock things and make things more understandable of what the needs are. For instance, I'll give you an example. We can say the exact same thing in a conversation and mean something totally different. Okay, think about this line. I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to wear. You ever heard that? Maybe this morning, someone of you were saying, I have nothing to wear. You're stressed out trying to get ready for church. I have nothing to wear. When the woman says this, she means, I have nothing new. It's time to go shopping. I have nothing new. When a man says this, it means, I have nothing clean. I have nothing clean. It's time to do laundry. Does that resonate? Now, it's the same line. It's the same words in the same order. I have nothing to wear. But that's the difference between men and women. We view things and hear things differently. And it's important to appreciate that. So a lot of what I'm going to share today, I'm going to share differences. I'm going to encourage every one of us to receive it with humility and patience and be willing to accept and appreciate the way that God created men and women. Okay? So how do we stop this crazy cycle? That's what today's message is all about. How do we get my wife to fulfill my needs? How do I get my husband to fulfill my needs? You may say that to yourself. How do I don't want to disrespect, but how do I get him to love me more so I feel more inclined to respect him? And conversely, you know, how do we do it? The key, you write this down, the key to motivating another person is meeting that person's deepest need. So it's not about thinking about yourself. It's about thinking about the need of the other person, and especially the deepest need of the other person, especially during conflict. So you can de-escalate something very quickly. The deepest need for a woman is unconditional love. So showing patience and gentleness and kindness in the midst of the conflict really helps deflate the conflict, kind of cools things down a little bit. And the man's deepest need is unconditional respect. So again, approaching it with honor and respect and not shouting, criticizing, complaining, and putting him down, but honoring him in that conflict will lift his spirit and soften his heart to respond in a loving way. So how do we do it? Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." So let's think about some ways this morning we can do it. And I referenced a couple of amazing books. So I can't cover everything because that would take forever and it'd be a 10-year sermon series and I only had 2 weeks, but I'll reference these two books. One of them's for couples only. It is, even though it says for couples only, they're broken up into two books, for women only and for men only, and this would actually help you even in the workplace relationships, trying to figure out how do you work alongside men, how do you work alongside women. This will even help you. Even though it says for couples only, it's still helpful. Trust me. You're going to hear some stuff that's going to help you this morning. Okay, and I recommend this for couples only, and then I recommend this book, Love and Respect. And really, most of this sermon series is inspired by this book by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, and it's phenomenal. So I'm going to use a phrase that he uses in his book called the energizing cycle. You can write this down. The energizing cycle, his love motivates her respect, and her respect motivates his love. So let's put that up on the screen, that picture. I love diagrams. I love visuals. His love motivates her respect. Her respect motivates his love. I'm telling you, if you desire to do this, if you want to get off of the crazy cycle and get on the energizing cycle, you're going to fill up each other's spirits and get off of each other's air tanks and instead breathe life into your relationship. You want to get on the energizing cycle. But how do you do it? It will require humility. It will require sincerity. You cannot fake it. If you're not genuine, it will easily turn from, instead of motivating the person, it will come across as manipulating the person. No one likes to be manipulated. No one likes to feel like they're manipulated. You can see it in relationships. You can see it in the workplace. People trying to do stuff to coerce you to do what they want, to meet their needs selfishly. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It never works in the end. Humility, sincerity, you want to motivate, not manipulate. And you need mutual understanding. I've heard it said that communication is key to every relationship. Well, not exactly, because if you're speaking a different language to each other, one's speaking Spanish, the other's speaking Chinese, well, how do they understand each other? You need an interpreter, right? So what do you need? You need mutual understanding. A woman needs to understand a man's deepest needs, and a man needs to understand a woman's deepest needs. Mutual understanding, not simply communication, is a key to marriage. Now listen, none of us are perfect, okay? Let's take the pressure off you. Please take the pressure off of you. None of us are perfect. We often fail at times. I was very transparent last week about a situation in our kitchen where we, Lillian and I, got into a heated fellowship in the kitchen, okay? And it was all over an Instant Pot. Ever heard of an Instant Pot? So this pressure cooker from heaven is what I call it. Women love it, and if you don't like tons of buttons, you're not going to like the Instant Pot because there are tons of buttons and lots of things to do. So anyway, bottom line is, with our conflict, I was getting frustrated over using it. I didn't figure it out. She came in and tried to tell me I'm doing it wrong, but the way it perceived to me, I felt like it was disrespectful the way she was coming and trying to tell me, you're doing it wrong, yelling at me like, you're doing it wrong and do it this way. And then I responded in kind, not graciously, and I threw my spoon on the counter and I got upset. And I'm not proud of this, but I responded with hostility towards her. I didn't mean to. I was frustrated about the situation. But here's what was happening. Bottom line is, the last thing I think I said to her was, well, why are you yelling at me? Make me feel like I'm an idiot. You think I'm stupid or something? That was my thought. I felt disrespected. The last thing she said to me before she walked out the door and lovingly slammed it was, I'm yelling because you're not listening. So what was happening? We weren't communicating. We weren't mutually understanding each other's deepest needs in that moment. And I realized I never gave you guys the conclusion to that story. So Pastor Carl came up to me after service, and he's like, did Lillian ever come back? Lillian did come back, and I, to her amazing credit, now I had an intention. I had a while to pray and think about. I knew I needed to apologize to her. But to her credit, she comes, and the very first thing she says to me is, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have yelled. And I'm telling you, it just softened my heart. And I was like, I'm sorry, too. We had a nice kiss. We made up. It was amazing. And we're back on track. Because why? We energized the relationship. Yeah, you can give God praise for that. I'm telling you, I'm sorry is a way to, just saying I'm sorry, it's so energizing in the relationship. If a woman hears this, I'm sorry, I wasn't loving. Please forgive me. Gosh, that fills up her air tank big time. And if a man hears, I'm sorry, I wasn't respectful, please forgive me, I'm telling you, breathes life into your relationship. But we want to understand each other, so this morning, let's break it down. A lot to cover, but bear with me. How to spell your love to your wife. And this is what Love and Respect book lays out. How to spell love to your wife, couple, C-O-U-P-L-E. And he uses that acronym because the deepest a desire that women have is they want to connect. They want to connect. And if there's one issue that's causing a disconnection, it seems like it affects everything else in their life, right? Because it's like it's plaguing them. They need that reconciled. They need that dealt with so that everything else can be good. Where men, we compartmentalize if something's not good in this area, like, all right, so I don't help with the dishes enough. Well, I don't think that should affect how we talk about our finances. But guess what? It does. It's all connected for women. For men, we compartmentalize. So, couple, think about women needing to connect. First fill in the blank is closeness. See, closeness. She wants you to be close. It's a deep need in her. Genesis 2:24 says this, a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. United. Another translation says cleaved. It's more than just a physical union. It is emotional and it is spiritual, and they become one flesh. It's a deep connection. She desires to be close. So how, men, do you do this? Simplest way, I'll abbreviate it. There's a lot more details in the book, and I encourage you, if any of these, let me preface it, if any of these areas seem like, whoa, I don't get that. You explain it, but I still don't get it. Get the book. In fact, I believe Lillian and I are going to lead a marriage small group, either this coming small group semester or the next one, but we're going to do it soon. We talked about it. We're going to do it soon. And I'm telling you, the more I worked on this message, the more I'm like, we can't just leave it here. We need a small group that deals with this too. And I encourage you, if you care at all about your relationship and you want to invest in it, come to our small group. Small groups are so important. Get involved with any small group. As soon as we move into the new building, we want to start our small group semesters up again. Okay? I'm telling you, you need it. It's life-giving. It's going to help you. And if you have some deep, deep, deep wounds from relationships, I recommend the Freedom Group. So you can just close the door on your yesterdays and get settled with all that, and you can move forward in freedom. I encourage you to do that. But if you're like, okay, if you want to revitalize it, I say join our small group. It's going to be good. Plug, plug. Okay, so what do you do to get close? Face-to-face time. Just think about this. Face-to-face time. Baby, how was your day? How was your day? Face-to-face, how was your day? And then you say this, and then this is going to be awesome. She talks, and you go, and then what happened? And then what happened? Oh, tell me more about that. And just let her keep sharing, because she needs that emotional release. She needs to be able to express how her day really went, and she needs a listening ear. She doesn't need you to fix her problems. She just needs you to listen. Listen. Give her some face-to-face time. She'll feel close to you. Go on dates. Do things where you have more face-to-face time. You get closer. The next fill in blank is openness. Oh, openness. She wants you to open up for her. And every man goes, oh. Every man goes, yikes. I don't want to. because men hold things close to the vest, and we just don't wear our feelings on our sleeves, typically. We don't do that. There are exceptions to all of these, just so you know. But this is by far, men have a harder time opening up about how they feel. Read this in Song of Solomon, Chapter 5, verse 2. It says, one night as I was sleeping, my heart awakened in a dream. I heard the voice of my beloved. He was knocking at my bedroom door. Open to me, my darling, my lover, my lovely dove, he said. Now, this open door symbolizes like their hearts being open to each other, a connection being made. More than just physical, it's emotional and it is spiritual. So she really wants to know, how are you feeling about stuff? She wants to feel connected to you by knowing your heart. Share your feelings. And I'll say this way, have relaxed body language with it too and good eye contact just so she knows you're not really upset about how you feel, but like share your feelings about it, share your feelings about how work is going. Ladies, listen and value him when he is sharing how he's feeling about work. Make sure you value and have a good, respectful listening ear to that. But men will open up and share their feelings if they feel you're going to respect them, if they do. Does that make sense? Okay. So, this is a two-way street, by the way. This isn't just all on men. You got to figure this out, and you're responsible for your marriage being good. No, it's a two-way street. It's two to tango, right? This is a dance, and it's true for every relationship. The next fill in blank, understanding. Understanding. Don't try to fix her. Just listen. Boy, it took me a while to figure this out. Because men, we like to fix stuff. I mean, we're hardwired to fix things. But women, they're just looking to for a connection. They want you to reassure them that their feelings are okay, and they just want to be able to release their feelings, and just they really want you to listen to try to identify their feelings and to understand them, right? They want you to get them, and it takes time. So men, the key is you want to be patient in this process because it's going to take a while for it all to come out eventually, and you go, okay, I'm trying to put it all together. But there was one time I remember Lelaine and I, this was before we had kids, I think. She had a really, really rough day at school. There was lots of things going on. There's just a whole number of things. And this was not too long after her father passed away, too. So her father passed away the first year of our marriage. So there was a lot of things all at once happening. I remember she just broke down crying in her car. And normally what I would do is I'd be like, babe, it's okay. And I'd start sharing scripture with her. I'd teach her about, you know. And it was so frustrating for her. And I didn't realize how frustrating it was because she really just needed to be heard. And I remember not saying anything, because I finally learned this lesson. I didn't say anything. I just put my hand on her hand. I just patted it. And she turned to me and she goes, thank you so much for listening. And I was like, whew. I felt like, man, that's better than trying to fix anything. I didn't have to do anything. I just listened. Awesome. It'll help you. Okay, next fill in the blank. Peacemaking. Peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. This is so important. It's good for both people to say they're sorry, just so you know. But she really desires peace. Peace in the relationship. Okay, 1 Peter 3:8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Like, we need to be in harmony in our relationship. So saying, I'm sorry, will you forgive me, is huge. It's huge. Resolve the unresolved. It's like you ever wonder, why does she bring up stuff from years ago? Because it's still not resolved in her heart. It's still not resolved. So if you can find a way to help her resolve that, and it may take time depending on how serious the hurt is or whatever happened, but if you can patiently work with her to try to resolve that and make it okay, it won't come up as frequently and it may not come up at all later on. Okay? And she really wants you to just reassure her of your love for her at that point, too, if she brings stuff up. She wants peace. She wants things resolved. Next fill in the blank, loyalty. She needs to know you're committed. This is huge, especially in this day and age. I'm telling you, this is huge. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 says, so guard your heart. Men, remain loyal to your wife, the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. Strong language. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty. Meaning, don't even bring up the subject. Because that's how much it puts her on edge and makes her feel so insecure. Why would you even bring it up? So this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, oh, I like that language. He's talking to men. Men respond to that. So guard your heart and do not be unfaithful to your wife. This is a challenge. And I'm telling you, men, we're hardwired to be stimulated by visually, and we get that. But the Bible's clear. Don't look lustfully at another woman. Don't do it. Don't do it. Show commitment to her and to your children. I'll leave it at that. Selah. Okay. Next, fill in the blank, esteeming. She wants you to honor and cherish her. She wants you to honor and cherish her. This is really important because women do desire respect. But it's like they want to know that, like, for instance, that your job isn't that you're not in love with your job more than you're in love with her, right? God needs to be our number one, but I'm telling you, your wife, your spouse, the woman you care about, they should be that number two. They really should be. And then children third, and you get it out of order. And then your work and your vocation. If you get it out of order, it gets all messed up. And then there's chaos, and you get on the crazy cycle, I'm telling you. Proverbs 31:10 says this, a wife of noble character, she is worth far more than rubies. Yes, she is. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all, he says. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. So you notice that it's easier to esteem a woman when she's honorable and she's this amazing woman of character and virtue. But I'm telling you, let this be unconditional. Esteem her. Show her honor. Verbally affirm her. Thank her for all the ways she works and takes care of the home. And if she does works a full-time job and does all the housekeeping, and my gosh, thank her. And if you can, help her out. Take the load off her. It shows her respect and honor if you verbally affirm her. And you don't throw her under the bus in public and say, man, my wife never cooks me a meal when I get home or something like that. Don't do that. Esteem her. Guard that. Esteem her. If you get on the crazy cycle, if you find yourself on the crazy cycle, you have violated one of these. Or all of them. Okay? So, I know it's a lot to digest. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God's going to help you do it. Take some time and study it, take it home, and pray over it. I'm telling you, and think about it this way, because men, we live by the honor code, so we want to show each other respect and honor. So think about it this way. This is your best way to show respect to your wife. Think about it in those terms, because men really do equate love with respect. It feels synonymous to them. Okay, so view it this way in your heart and mind. This is how I'm going to show her respect, is I'm going to couple with her. And it's powerful. It'll bless you. Now, ladies, I'm not leaving you out. Brace yourselves. Here we go. How to spell respect to your husband. Chairs. Now, Dr. Emerson uses this because men desire to chair the relationship, meaning they like to be in charge and to overlook how everything's going. They like to overlook the finances. They like to overlook how are things going with the kids, how are things going with... And they like to just... be in that position of authority and leadership to serve and lead. They like to chair in the relationship. And the first fill in the blank is conquest. Doesn't that sound romantic, ladies? Conquest. You want to appreciate his desire to work and achieve. I'm telling you, God did this from the very beginning. He put man in charge with a job. God put him, before he created Eve, God put Adam in the garden and said, you're going to take care of this garden, you're going to cultivate it, You're going to work in this garden. I mean, he put it in, imprinted on him, a desire to work and achieve. Genesis 2:18, Lord God said, I will make him a helper suitable for him. So God created Eve to help him in achieving and conquering. He created Eve to help him, to be by his side. That's why God took the rib out of his side, to be by his side. Not from his foot so that he would treat her like a doormat, and not from his head so that she would feel like she's got authority over him, but side so that she'd be that helper and that helpmate. And the Apostle Paul elaborates on this subject in 1 Corinthians. He says in 11:9, for indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Women, we need you. We need you. And I thank God that God created my wife for me. I thank God for that. So how do you show him that you appreciate his work ethic and his desire and drive to work and achieve? Tell him you value his work ethic. Express your faith in him in relation to his chosen field. Like, do everything you can to just show that you appreciate this drive in him. It is as deep of a felt need as your need for esteem, your need for closeness. It's just as deep and real for the man. And there's hierarchy is the next one. Hierarchy. Boy, these are so romantic, aren't they? Hierarchy. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide. Now, how does that indicate hierarchy? Well, listen. When the Bible says to submit, wives, submit to your husbands, that Greek word is talking about coming under the covering of him and under his protection, okay? It symbolizes you saying, yeah, I want him to protect me. I want him to look out for me. I want him to provide for me. I want that. And something will unlock in you when you do that, where there will be grace in your relationship that respect is going to flow, and he's going to be so moved with love, and he's going to work that much harder to provide and to protect you. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own... and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I think women are afraid that they're going to have a guy like this. But if you come under his covering and you verbally affirm him in this and say, I know you have a desire to protect. I know you have a desire to provide. And I just want you to know, I believe in you. And I trust that God's going to give you the grace and the ability to do it. So let's do this together. You are going to unlock something powerful. You're going to touch his heart. And he's going to open up his heart to you. Because men, we read this and we know, yeah, God is serious. And we feel the challenge to step up to the plate and do it. So this is not about male dominance. This is about his inner desire to protect and the wife placing herself under that protection. So tell him that you appreciate his willingness to die to protect you and your household, because a man is willing to lay down his life for his family. And that's something you want to honor and respect. The next fill in the blank is authority. Authority. Appreciate his desire to serve and to lead. Really big. Appreciate his desire to serve and lead. Ephesians 5:22-23 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Now think about this. It's as you do to the Lord. So this isn't even about your relationship with your husband. This is about your relationship with God. Do you honor God and obey him? Then you're going to want to follow this command. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So again, that Greek word is hupotasso, probably mispronouncing it, but it means to rank under or place under that protection and that authority. Now, what does this mean? Women, you have no say? That's not true at all. I love partnering with Elaine, and I love her input, and I value her input. It's just when we have a disagreement, and there has to be a tiebreaker. And God says there has to be a tiebreaker, because otherwise you're just going to fight and fight, and you're just going to go round and round in the crazy cycle, nothing's going to get done, and you're just stalling out. And God says, listen, I've created the husband to be the tiebreaker. Now, with this authority comes responsibility. Now, he is responsible to lovingly treat you with respect and to listen to you and to receive that input and say, you know what, all right, let's pray about that. Let's talk about that. But ultimately, when Adam and Eve made the mistake of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, who did God go to first? The man. And he asked him, what did you do? And like any self-respecting man, he goes, the woman that you gave me. He's like, this wasn't me, this was her. And she tricked me to do it. So we don't know if he was tricked or we don't know. But the Bible does say that he was disobedient in that. Like, he knew he shouldn't have done it. He was disobedient. So God looked at him and said, the buck stops with you. And men, we hear this and we go, yeah, it's true. And the weight of that responsibility is on our shoulders, and we feel it. It's real. So when you say, forget you, I'm not going to submit to that, it deflates him completely. And he feels like, well, this is what God created me to do. So you don't even value who I am and how God created me? Now, husbands, you know, every self-respecting and every good-willed husband knows that you don't dominate your wife. So, ladies, please don't be afraid that he's going to dominate you. And if he is, my God, share it with some counselors, some professional counselors, get some professional help. If there's abuse, I said it last week, do not tolerate abuse. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about differences in preference and conflict. I'm not talking about abuse. Abuse is not tolerated in a relationship. You separate for a season, you get help. There should be forgiveness. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be trust built up over time. And then you can reconcile. All right? I'm making that very clear. I'm not talking about abuse. This is talking about, okay, should we put the kids in Little League or not? Should we spend money in that area or not? Come on. Day-to-day stuff, not abuse. So respect his authority. And let him know, hey, I appreciate you. You're a servant leader. And you're good-willed, and I trust you. You're not going to abuse this authority. Next, fill in blank, insight. Insight. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. Now, this is pretty, you've heard this term, you know, trust the woman's intuition. And so many times in the church we hear, you know, men, you really need to listen, because it shows her love and honor, and you value her as a helpmate. And that's really important. Men, you need to do it. But sometimes women can go the extreme and completely dismiss the insight that men have when God has made them to be analytical and problem solvers. And their insight is actually very, very helpful at times. And in their workplace, they use that insight to garner respect from other people. And then in the home, they don't receive any respect at all, and it completely deflates them. It's like their input needs to be valued as well. Proverbs 19:21 says, many plans are in a man's heart. There's a lot that's going on in his heart, ladies. And if you don't desire to hear from him, he's just going to keep it all there. But praise God, the counsel of the Lord will stand. So God's will be done. But listen, we all have blind spots. So men, we need to have listening ears for our wives, but women, have listening ears for your husbands, because we do all have blind spots. So value your man's input and acknowledge his ideas as worthy of consideration. That's good. I'm telling you, ladies, you do this, man. Whew, the man's going to bend over backwards for you. Relationship is the next fill in the blank. Yeah, he desires relationship. So appreciate his desire. Now, that's a different kind of relationship. While women want face-to-face relationship, men want shoulder-to-shoulder relationship. So men will say, hey, come watch TV with me. And the woman's thinking, I got a whole bunch of other stuff I need to do. Okay, sit down. What do you want to talk about? Nothing. Let's just watch this together. And the woman just sits there uncomfortably. And pretty soon she just gets up and leaves and starts working on other stuff. And inwardly the man deflates a little bit because he wanted to spend some time with you, doing something together, experiencing something together. Men, we bond through experiences. When I first came on staff at the church, Pastor Bill would invite us pastors to go fishing together. Those were awesome. We need to do another one. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Those were awesome. We didn't bare our souls on this. No, we would go and we'd fish. And we'd talk about fish-related stuff or maybe some other things, but it was we were shoulder-to-shoulder experiencing fishing together. And ladies, when your man invites you out to some type of outing that's just shoulder-to-shoulder, don't keep saying no. Say yes. And be patient, because there's not going to be much talking. It's going to be doing, because men are doers. And we bond that way. And I'm telling you, he's just going to look over at you and smile every now and then, because he's just going to be so happy. And you guys are going to bond in a different way. He desires that shoulder-to-shoulder relationship. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, says this: his mouth is full of sweetness. Ooh. And he is wholly desirable. Amen. Every man goes, amen. This is my beloved. And look at how she views him. And this is my friend. Let him be your friend. Ladies, a husband is energized. He's energized simply by your presence. That's quite an honor for you. He's energized simply by your presence. So we don't need to talk to feel close to you. So again, be patient and just... I say my challenge for you, if he brings you out on a date like that or some type of excursion of some kind, just sit, or even just inviting you to come watch TV with him, just sit and don't talk. Don't even try to initiate conversation. Just sit and don't talk. And man, he's going to... It's going to be good. It's going to fill up his tank. It seems so counterintuitive, doesn't it, ladies? But I'm telling you, God wired men this way. And the last one, and this is why I encourage people to check their kids into children's ministry, is because the last one is sexuality. Sexuality. Appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. Now, this is by far, I could devote an entire message and maybe even an entire sermon series to the subject, because it has become so twisted and convoluted, and there's so many lies out there. Okay? I'll try to make it simple. God made men differently, women. We really like sex for the sake of sex. The connection for us men comes after sex. Like we feel, I'll say it this way, men need that sexual release the way that women need that emotional release. It's the same felt need. It's that deep. So it's very hurtful for a man if women use sex to manipulate. It's very hurtful for a man if men try to pursue her in this way, and she's constantly saying, no, 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 I'm tired, I got a headache, no. Now listen, you may be tired, you may not be in the mood. And in no way am I saying that you should 100% always submit in this area. No, the Bible actually says you submit yourselves one to another in this area. Both of you have equal say. So men, you got to be patient with your wives. If you know there's so much going on in her life, you've sat and you listened to her, and you know, tonight's not a good night for me to try this. But it shouldn't be every single night, every single week, for years, that there's no intimacy. That is not how God designed it. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Hear this in Scripture. The next verse, do not deprive each other except, now listen to this, perhaps, except perhaps, by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer, so you can seek God. Great, during 21 days of prayer and fasting to be celibate in your marriage. That's a good time. Then come together again. Why? So that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Men are tempted now more than ever because pornography is so easily available. And I hate this lie that comes out. I hear it sometimes from women, and it crushes every man that hears it. Men are pigs. And you just dismiss him because he has a sexual need. That is so hurtful. God created men this way, not to be dogs, but to have that intimacy, because I'm telling you, that sex drive sends him home every night. He's thinking of, like, there are times when he's like, I'm working, I can't wait to get home and spend time with my wife. Or he's out on a trip for a few weeks, he can't wait to get home and be intimate with his wife. Men going out to serve their country, they come home, they can't wait to get home to be intimate with their wives because that they needed that, and they haven't had that, and they needed it. And what the devil does is he takes advantage of men in that vulnerable situation because it is a vulnerability for them. And he takes advantage of them and he tempts them with some low-hanging fruit that's easily available with a click of a button. There's no excuse, men, there's no excuse to look at porn. There's no excuse to do that and be unfaithful to your wife. But ladies, don't make it so hard and throw him into a situation where he's going to be tempted. And you wonder, why was he adulterous? I thought he loved me and had only asked for me. He does, but we're visual creatures and we can't gouge our eyes out. I would if I could, because I don't like being tempted in that way. I know I'm speaking strongly about this, but I'm telling you, this subject wrecks marriages. And you got to hear the truth in church, not in the world, because the world doesn't have it. God's word has it. And we got to be able to get over our shame and our guilt from our past mistakes and say, God, today is a new day. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And moving forward, I'm going to have healthy sexual relationships with my spouse moving forward. Amen. Can I get better amen than that? Come on. Women are like, Men are like, come on, ladies. But if this helps, think about it this way. Wives, men need sexual release just as you need emotional release. Where you need to just talk about everything, get everything out on the table, your feelings. Men need that intimacy. It is a form of intimacy for them. And it's as deep of a felt need as the desire to be close, the desire to be intimate, you know, to talk to each other, share each feelings. And I'll say it this way also. Ladies, how many of you have boys? How many have boys? Like you had kids and you have some boys. All right, think about it this way. How do you want your future daughter-in-law to treat your son? Because he's going to have these same needs when he grows up. And some of you, he's already grown up, and he has these same needs. I'm sure that you would want his wife to respect him just as your husband needs you to respect him. So think about it that way, if it helps. And to summarize all this, honestly, we can't do any of this without God's help. It's heavy, right? Because it's like almost rewiring how we're thinking. Not rewiring. God does not want you to change, but he does want people to grow in understanding because that is a way of loving and respecting each other. It's trying to grow in mutual understanding. So we want this to be worship unto God, not a duty. Okay? That's really important. So the heart has to be worship unto God, not duty. Not duty. Worship unto God, not duty. Let's look at this last verse, and I'll wrap with this. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord. Lainey, you can come up now. Sorry. I was waiting for you to look. That's all right. She was taking notes, filling up my respect tank. I love it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. Again, this isn't marriage isn't even about you and your spouse. It's really about your relationship with God. That's why God made it, so we can better understand him. Do not threaten them. Whew. since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So in the book, Love and Respect, there's this new cycle. You go from the energizing cycle to this new cycle. And put it up on the screen. Here, fill in the blanks here. His love, regardless of her respect, and her respect, regardless of his love. If you can get to the point where you decide in your heart, I'm going to treat men with respect no matter what, and I'm going to treat women with love and show love to them no matter what, you're going to get on this rewarding cycle. Got that diagram up? Look at that. His love, regardless of her respect, regardless of his love. That's true worship. And I'm telling you, God rewards you no matter what happens. Even if the marriage doesn't work, even if the relationship falls apart, if you know in your heart, you did this, God looks at you and goes, well done, good and faithful servant. You did it. And he's proud of you. No matter what happens, he loves you, and he's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. Did anyone get something good out of this message this morning? Come on. Go ahead and close your eyes. Let's pray. Invite the presence of God. God, we need your help. We need your help. And I just pray over everyone here, God, that all this knowledge would not just be knowledge that puffs up or not be knowledge that overwhelms. But I pray, Lord, there'd be a spirit of wisdom and revelation that helps everyone here to understand how to apply this in each season of their lives and in every relationship that they have. And I pray, God, that you would just provide grace and strength to apply it, Lord. And help us, God, and help us to be patient with one another this week as we try to work this out. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, we talked about relationships, love and respect. It really is all about our relationship with God, ultimately. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, well, that's why you're here. God really wants to have that connection with you. He wants to be with you for eternity. So if I'd ask you this question, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? And you say, well, I don't know. I hope so, think so. I'm not sure. Well, that's too important a consequence to leave to chance. You need to know for certain that you have eternal life with him. And you can know. He says, I write these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. So what does that mean? There comes a time in your life when you become born again. You surrender your life to him. He comes and lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. And you can have that and start that relationship with him today. He'll forgive you of all your sins. You come out brand new, spotless, clean, in right relationship with him for eternity. Maybe you've been here and you've done that in the past, but you know you're not where you want to be with God. You want to get back on track. Well, that's why you're here today too. So I want to pray with you, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but if any of those two scenarios apply to you, you want to begin a relationship with him, or you want to restart and kickstart your relationship with God, get back on track, would you raise your hand right now and be bold? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, be bold. Okay, you can put your hand down. Everyone, pray this prayer with them and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I recognize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, you are the Son of God. I put my faith in you. I surrender my life to you. Take it and make it yours. I love you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Come on, give God praise for those who pray that prayer. Thank you, Victory Church.
Well, he didn't disappoint me. And I think that's two grand slams in a row. That was just a great compliment. Give Pastor Mike a hand. Those two messages, we need to kind of package that somehow. It's going to be on the website. I mean, wow, just great instructions. If we'll put that into practice, every one of us will have better relationships, definitely in our marriages. But you guys that are single, if you're hoping someday to be married, this is the time to learn it. And if you're not, this applies to all kinds of relationships, any kind of relationships, that men and women think differently and act differently. So excellent, excellent series. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. You did a great job at that. Well, listen, if you go ahead, give him another hand. That's worthy. If you prayed that prayer with Pastor